did, once she was fully recovered, was to change her name and traipse out on the Space Habitat Goddard on this wild-ass mission to explore Saturn and its moon Titan. She picked up and left Pancho behind, with a smile and a peck on the cheek and a perfunctory, "Thanks for everything, Ponch." She ran off with that slimy son of a bitch, Malcolm Eberly. That was why Pancho was not in her most chipper and cheerful mood as Star Power 3 docked with Goddard and began to disembark its VIP passengers. She felt sullen resentment and an anger she believed to be completely justified, and she was more than a little apprehensive about how Susie would receive her. How's she gonna react to having her big sister drop in on her after she's flown almost 1.5 billion kilometers to get away from me? Merry Christmas! Now go home. That's what Pancho feared her sister's attitude would be. Stewing inside, juggling these emotions, Pancho made her way down the ship's central passageway to the main docking port after the skipper had announced they'd mated with Goddard. All the big muckety-muck scientists and news execs were gathering in the port's waiting area, chatting and buzzing impatiently. She saw Jake Wanamaker easily enough. He towered over the others. His craggy face broke into a smile as he spotted her, and Pancho couldn't help but grin back at him. "Hi there, sailor," she said, once she had sidled through the gathering crowd to stand beside him. "New in town?"
"Yes, ma'am," answered Wanamaker, falling into the old routine. "Thought maybe you'd show me the sights."
They both laughed, and Pancho felt better. Until they finally stepped through the airlock and into Goddard's reception area. The crowd was arranging itself into a straggly line as personnel from the habitat checked names and assigned the visitors to living quarters. Then Pancho spotted Susie, tall and lean as herself. "She looks okay," Pancho thought, her heart leaping. "She looks fine." "Ponch!" Susie yelped, and she pushed through the line of notables toward her sister. "Mustn't call her Susan," Pancho reminded herself. "She's Holly now." Her sister threw her arms around Pancho's neck, and Pancho knew it was going to be all right between them. No matter what, it was going to be okay. She introduced Holly to Jake, who took her hand in his meaty paw and said hello almost solemnly while Pancho beamed at them. "Come on, let's go to my place," Holly said. "You can find your apartment later, after the crowd's thinned out." Pancho happily followed her sister as far as the hatch that led out to the corridor beyond the reception area. Standing there was a handsome, youngish man, hair the color of straw swept in thick waves, strong cheekbones, thin straight nose, chiseled firm jaw, and piercing sky blue eyes. His face was sculpted so perfectly that Pancho guessed he'd had cosmetic therapy. What was that word the old-time racists used? She asked herself. The answer came to her swiftly. Aryan. That's what he looked like, the ideal Nordic hero. Yet below the neck he looked soft, a slight potbelly bulging his loosely draped tunic, as if his face was all that mattered to him. "Ponch, this is Malcolm Eberly, Goddard's chief administrator," and Pancho lashed out with her right fist in a lightning punch that caught Eberly's smiling face solidly on the jaw and knocked him backward onto the seat of his pants. "That's for damn near killing my sister, you no-good son of a bitch," Pancho snarled at him. 23 December, 2095. Habitat Goddard Reception Area. For an instant, nobody moved. No one spoke. Eberly shook his head groggily and sat up, rubbing the side of his face with one hand. Holly broke the silence. "Pancho, for God's sake!" "It wasn't my doing," Eberly said, almost in a whine. "I tried to stop them." Pancho snorted and stepped past the man, suppressing an urge to kick him where it would do the most good. A pair of men in black coveralls moved toward her. Both wore white armbands proclaiming security. Both had stun wands strapped to their hips. Wanamaker pushed in front of Pancho protectively. "It's all right," Eberly told the security guards as he slowly got to his feet. "I'm not hurt." "Too bad," Pancho huffed, and, without a glance back, stepped through the open hatch. Holly quickened her pace to catch up with her sister. "Pancho, he's the elected head of this whole flaming habitat." "He stood aside and let those new morality bastards beat you half to death," Pancho growled,
walking determinedly down the short passageway, Wanamaker at her side. "That's over and done with," Holly said from Pancho's other side, "and they weren't new morality. They were from the Holy Disciples."
"Whatever."
"The people responsible have been sent back Earthside. One of them was killed, executed for creep's sake." Pancho stopped at the hatch set into the far end of the steel-walled passageway.
"Come on. Let's get out of here before those news execs remember they're in the news business and start sniffing after me. Where the hell are we, anyway? Am I going in the right direction?"
Holly's anger dissolved. She grinned at her sister.
"Yep, this is right. Come on, let me show you."
And she tapped out a code on a keypad next to the hatch.
Pancho looked back over her shoulder. Eberly was on his feet, the two security guards flanking him, several of the visiting executives peering curiously in Pancho's direction. Neither Eberly nor any of the incoming visitors had left the reception area, though.
The hatch swung inward, and Pancho felt a breath of warm air puff against her face. Still grinning, Holly made a little bow and, with a sweep of her arm, announced, "Welcome to Habitat Goddard." Pancho stepped through the hatch, Wanamaker right behind her. Despite her knowledge, despite her expectations, her jaw dropped open and she gasped with delighted surprise.
"Jumpin' jeeps," she breathed. "It's a whole world in here."
They were standing on an elevated knoll with a clear view of the habitat's broad interior. A green, sunlit landscape stretched out in all directions around them. Gently rolling grassy hills, clumps of trees, little meandering streams went on and on into the hazy distance. Pancho's breath caught in her throat. So much greenery. Nowhere off Earth had she seen such it was a paradise. A man-made Garden of Eden. The breeze was fragrant with the soft scent of flowers, bushes thick with vivid red hibiscus and lavender jacarandas lined both sides of a curving path that led down to a village of low buildings, white and gleaming in the light streaming in through the solar windows that were wrapped around the great cylinder like a ring of brilliant sunshine. "It looks like one of those Mediterranean towns," Pancho thought. The village in the distance was set on the gentle slope of a grassy hill, overlooking a shimmering blue lake. Like the Amalfi Coast in Italy, like a picture out of a travel brochure. This is what a perfect Mediterranean countryside would look like. She made out farmlands farther in the distance, square little fields of fresh, bright green, and more villages of whitewashed buildings dotting the gently rolling hills. There was no horizon. Instead, the land simply curved up and up. Hills and grass and trees and more little villages with their paved pathways and sparkling streams, up and up on all sides, until she was craning her neck to look straight overhead at still more of the carefully, lovingly landscaped greenery.
"This is better than any of the LaGrange Point habitats," Pancho told her sister.
"This is beautiful."
"It has to be," Wanamaker said matter-of-factly, "for people to make it their permanent home."
Pancho shook her head in wonderment and uttered a heartfelt, "Wow!" Holly beamed at them.
"And I'm in charge of the Human Resources Department."
"Really?"
Pancho asked.
"For real, Ponch."
They dispatched Wanamaker to find the quarters that he and Pancho had been assigned to, while Holly led her sister to her own apartment.
"Home sweet home," Holly announced as she ushered Pancho into her sitting room.
"Nice," said Pancho, taking in the sparse furniture and minimal decorations.
The place looked tidy and had that citrusy, almost antiseptic tang of her recent cleaning.
"She's tidied up the place for me," Pancho thought,
as she asked, "Are those smart walls?"
"You bet. I can program them to show almost anything you want."
Holly went to the desk in the corner and picked up a remote control wand. One entire wall of the room suddenly showed a real-time image of Saturn and its spectacular rings.
"Whoosh!" Pancho exclaimed. "It's almost like being outside."
"Sit." Holly gestured toward the small sofa. "I'll get us something cold to drink." Pancho sat on an upholstered chair while her sister went into the kitchen.
"Well,
If she's clanked up about me dropping in on her, Pancho thought, she sure doesn't show it. She looks